Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Stillwater, Oklahoma, and earned a bachelor's and master's in liberal arts from the University of Kansas. He served three combat tours as an F-16 fighter pilot in Iraq, and in 2007, he founded Folds of Honor, whose mission is to provide scholarships to spouses and children of fallen and disabled service members. It's raised over $130 million and awarded nearly 25,000 scholarships. The author of A Patriot's Calling and Fly Into the Wind, his name, Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to a true American hero, Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney. Lieutenant Colonel, welcome. An honor to have you.
It is a great day to be an American, Jack. Thanks for having me.
All right. Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Oh, yeah, you bet. Well, I am, number one, just hope everybody is staying safe and getting on the other side of this crazy corona time. And I'm raising five daughters of my own. So you'll hear a few birds chirping because I'm on the front porch while everybody is homeschooling. So, I'm raising, I think, really good daughters and trying to keep up with the great job my parents did for me. And, born and raised in Stillwater, Oklahoma, as you mentioned in my intro, and just had a leave it to beaver upbringing. My mom stayed home and was there to send me to school and welcome me home every day. My dad taught at Oklahoma State University, was a college professor. And, we played all sports, but ultimately we spent most of our time together on the golf course. And, there was one really pivotal moment as about a 12-year-old kid. I got my first job and I was picking range balls at the Stillwater Country Club. And there was this really cool guy that showed up, and his name was Steve Courtright. His call sign was Reno, and he was a fighter pilot. And he was my first man crush. And so about 2 days later, I was playing golf with my dad. I said, "Dad, I know what I want to do with my life." And he looked at me and I said, "Yeah, I want to be a golf pro and a fighter pilot." And I'm a rare combination, only guy in the history of the world to put those two things together, Jack. But his question to me was very interesting when I announced this. He asked me if I knew which way an airplane took off. And I was 12, right? And I'm like, I think it's into the wind. And, he said, "That's exactly right. It is into the wind. And you're going to face a lot of resistance if this is the path you're going to take. But ultimately, we have to have resistance in an airplane in order to ascend." So, I graduated from Stillwater High and was one of the better golfers in the state of Oklahoma. And then was off to the University of Kansas. So how's that for my childhood?
What's the biggest thing, Dan, you learned from mom?
Oh, my mom and dad are, been married 55 years. And I was saying, a good marriage is an example of the greatest team on earth. And my dad was very optimistic. My mom was very organized and pragmatic. And as much as I hate to admit it, because I am obviously pretty much a free spirit and a go before you're ready kind of guy, I take with me, her organization and just kind of critical thinking of how to execute. And it's crazy. I used her skills, or I do, much more as a fighter pilot than I do my dad's skills that he gave me. Because you have to be, very organized. You have to prepare for the what ifs. you know, the bad stuff that could happen in advance. And so you're able to react quickly. And the other thing that, you know, that she gave me is my faith. You know, I'm a devout Catholic. One of my biggest complaints of the COVID virus at a very personal level is that I can't go to daily mass. I love attending daily mass. And so she really grounded my faith as a young kid. My mom and dad are both very faithful people, but my mom was the faith leader in the house. So, I mean, they were equally important characters in, you know, forming this little kid in Stillwater, Oklahoma, and getting ready to send him off into the world.
Talk about your life or the life of a PGA golf professional, Dan.
Well, I think in order that, you know, I was, as I mentioned, I was a very good player growing up in the state of Oklahoma. I wouldn't say I was a natural player either, which I think summarizes a lot of things in my life is, you know, I've been given some God-given ability, but have a relentless work effort. I figured that was the one thing I could control. I couldn't control, you know, what my natural talent was, but I had a total control to make the choice that I would outwork anybody. And so, you know, growing up in Stillwater, I always say I found all my answers in the dirt. I think that was Ben Hogan, but just hit a lot of golf balls and got good enough to become get a guaranteed spot as a walk-on at the University of Kansas. And, you know, by the time I had reached my third year there, I was on a full scholarship and playing as the second man on the team. And Ross Randall has passed away, my coach at Kansas, unfortunately. But I think if he was here, he would tell you that I was the hardest worker he ever had at Kansas. So, you know, I went from there, and this is kind of where golf and flying come together. So it's not going to be a pure answer, but I knew I wanted to be in the Air Force. And as I finished up at Kansas, my senior year, I played against Tiger Woods in the NCAAs where he won. And so played in the U.S. Amateur with Tiger Woods. So got to tangle around with him, which was awesome. And I've known him for years. And I had to make enough money to get a private pilot's license. And so I moved to Florida and I turned professional and, not very sexy, not the ones you see on TV. I was playing the mini tours in Florida, but I was making a living. I was getting paid to play golf. And I was using my excess money to go take private pilot lessons at this little airport in Winter Haven, Florida, the Winter Haven Municipal Airport. And, so I played for money, if you will, for 2 years. And then a lot of people confuse this, but, you know, a PGA Tour professional is somebody, obviously, you see on TV that's playing for money. I would end up getting my certification as a PGA Club professional, so a Class A pro, you know, the people that run golf courses, run the game, et cetera. And, you know, that would play a big chapter kind of in my life. So I was established in the Air Force and all that and still today. So I'm still a PGA Class A member. And, you know, thanks to that organization, you know, raising millions of dollars for the families of our fallen and disabled.
We're talking to Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney, who served 3 combat tours as an F-16 fighter pilot in Iraq. When we come back, we'll talk to him about that chapter of his life. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney. Dan, talk to us about the life of an F-16 fighter pilot, please.
Oh, yeah, my favorite thing to talk about. So, you know, I mentioned when I was 12, that was my dream. And there aren't many people that get to live out their dreams. And, you know, you give credit to the people that believe in you along the way, first and foremost. But, you know, I made it. The process of becoming a fighter pilot is really interesting. And a lot of people don't understand. But, you know, you go through officer candidate school and become a second lieutenant. And then they send you off to what's called UPT, undergraduate pilot training. And this program in its totality is the most expensive, lowest success rate of any training in the military. So for each pilot, I remember the first day I showed up in there, our commander, you know, outlined this opportunity we had and said, hey, if you make it through this $1 million scholarship. So literally, it's like the $6 million man, the old TV show. But they're spending $6 million per pilot training us. He said, but the bad news is only 4.8% of you will statistically make it through this program. So it's a 90% washout rate. And that doesn't mean you won't fly in the Air Force. That was specifically people that will start that day, first day of UPT, and 2.5 years later, be a combat fighter pilot wingman. And so it was a daunting climb. It really goes back to, you know, what I talked about before. I was like, wow, I can't do this on my own. I looked around that room. I've never been more intimidated in my life. There are about 45 people in it. You know, all these guys from the Air Force Academy, and they're chiseled out of stone. And I went home that night kind of very defeated with the reality of what had happened and the news that I'd gotten, thinking that, man, I'm not going to make it through this. And so I set my alarm 30 minutes early the next day, which is really early, as we'd report at like 4:30 in the morning. And I started a deep prayer routine. And I realized that if I was going to make it through this, there was no way I could do it the way I'd gotten through everything else in my life. And that I genuinely needed a wingman in God on this journey. And, you know, I'm proud to say that was in the year 2001. So I've been setting that alarm 30 minutes early for the rest of my life. But I made it through the program and, actually did really well in it. And, that was in Wichita Falls, Texas, a place called INJET, Euro NATO Joint Jet Pilot Training. They go through that. And then I was off to Luke Air Force Base. And in Phoenix, Glendale, Arizona, to fly the F-16. And that was one of the greatest days of my life. And just to tell you how push it up, as we call it, the program is. So you get to the F-16, you do about a month of academics and simulators, and we're single seat fighter pilots in the F-16 community, but they've got training planes called D models, and so they have an extra cockpit behind them, and so the instructor would ride behind you, and you get 4 rides with an instructor in this, you know, $50 million supersonic fighter. Your 5th ride is by yourself, and this was a life-changing lesson that day for me. And I went out there, and you know, I climbed in that fighter jet, Jack, and I flew it for about an hour, brought it back and landed. And as I'm climbing down the ladder, the lesson hits me: go before you're ready. Because if it was up to me, I would have never gone and flown that fighter jet with 4 rides with an instructor. On my 5th ride, I was totally unready by what my personal inventory would have been. But obviously the instructors believed in me and I was successful. But so often in life, we wait for the perfect moment, right? We're going to get everything in order. We're going to prepare everything, and then we're going to go. And I will tell you, there is this defiant thread in greatness. And if I put my finger on one thing, is that whatever you're doing in life, the true great people go before they're ready. They have this reckless faith. And I left Luke, and literally I went before I was ready again, 45 days out of training. I was in combat for my first tour of duty in Iraq. People were shooting at me, AAA surface-to-air missiles trying to kill me. And that is they don't put that on the recruiting poster. And so that was another really awakening moment, and but was successful there, and did two more tours of duty. So basically from 2000 to 2010, I was either getting ready for work, going to, or coming back from the Iraq War. So it was a very busy, very busy time. And so that's, you know, life as a combat fighter pilot. And, you know, I'm still flying, and I fly out of a base called Eglin Air Force Base in Destin, Florida. And I have the coolest job in the Air Force as an old guy now, as a lieutenant colonel. I've got 19 years in, is I'm an aggressor pilot. So have you ever seen the movie Top Gun, Jack?
Yes, sir.
All right. So I am like Viper in Top Gun. So I'm a I'm an expert in Russia, China, North Korea, and we use the parable of Proverbs 27. Iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. And we take the best fighter pilots in the Air Force, and we make them better. So it's one of the favorite parts of my life, being a supersonic fighter pilot. And I thank God every day that I've had and continue to have that opportunity to fly.
We're talking to Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney, and he's a modern-day Bob Hope for our deceased and wounded veterans and their families. Speaking of which, let's go back to June of 2006, Dan. You're coming back from your second tour of duty, and you're on a United flight from Chicago O'Hare into Gerald Ford Airport in Grand Rapids. Talk about that flight, please.
So I call them moments of synchronicity, Jack, or chance with a purpose. When God puts you someplace you're completely not expecting to be, it, you know, it has a change in your life in a significant way. And I was actually headed up to our family golf course in Grand Haven, Michigan, and so flying through Chicago O'Hare. It was a dark, delayed night, and I finally got on this United flight headed into Grand Rapids, and take my seat and coach, and about an hour or so later, we finally get to Grand Rapids, about midnight at this point. And the captain comes over the PA and makes an announcement that we're carrying an American hero on this flight. We have the remains of Corporal Brock Buckland, who'd been killed in Iraq, and his identical twin brother, Corporal Brad Buckland, is in first class and has brought him home from Iraq. And the captain asked everybody that night to stay in their seats until Brock's remains had removed from the right cargo hold. And, you know, I've seen a lot of really terrible things in combat, Jack, but I had never seen that side of war. And I watched that family on the darkest night of their lives. His brothers, his wife, his parents, but his four-year-old son, and Brock's American flag draped coffin inched down to cargo hold. And can you hear that noise above me, Jack?
Yes, sir.
Those are F-16s right there. So those are our planes flying over me. That's pretty cool for a radio interview, huh?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, so the ceremony finished itself up. You know, and I compose myself, and I stand up and see that despite the captain's request, that that more than half the people had aborted the plane that night. And I you know, I'd never been so disappointed to be an American in my life. That's a hard thing for me to say. And as I walked off the plane, I felt a hand on my shoulder, and I looked back, and there was nothing there. But the only thing I'll tell you for certain today, Jack, I know it was the hand of God. And he picks the least among us, and I certainly qualify there, but he also picks the willing. And, you know, that was the moment of synchronicity that that would inspire me to host a little golf tournament at the Grand Haven Golf Club. And we raised about $8,000 and to help Brock's son, Jacob, who was four at the time. But that opened up this place in my heart that I never experienced before, in this this beautiful understanding that when you help someone, that you're actually being helped. And it is just this, you know, euphoric state. And I knew I wanted more of that, and started, you know, Folds of Honor above my garage in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, a few months after that. So that's how it all started, that moment of synchronicity.
If you want to learn more, www.folds.honor.org, which today has raised over $130 million and awarded nearly 25,000 scholarships. We're talking to Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney, who started it, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible, a News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with a real American hero, a Jerry Lewis, if you will, for our young military heroes, Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney. Dan, talk to us about the job that our young heroes have done in Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, these past 19 years, please.
Yeah, I think the startling thing is the 19 years, right? Going into 20 years we've been in combat. I spent the better part of a decade of my life either preparing for, going to, fighting, or coming home from Iraq. So I have a really intimate knowledge of the fact that freedom is not free. And I've seen heroic things. I've seen terrible things. People ask me about combat, and the one thing that sticks with me probably most are the smells of combat, and on our last tour, we were stationed at Balad in Iraq, and people don't realize this, but they have burn pits. So they burn everything on the base, and it's for OPSEC reasons. So the enemy doesn't get intel on what's going on. But these burn pits have everything from, you know, old tires to medical waste to the uniforms to, you know, to flesh. And it's just this, you know, this horrible smell and reminder of the combat that you're in. These black waves of smoke just drift across the base on a constant basis, depending on which way the wind is blowing. And there's right now in this country, Jack, there's 0.45% that are in the United States military. So they're in charge of defending 99.5% of this country. And it's obviously a heroic group, but the issue with so few defending so many is the repetition by which you go to combat. And every time you go, the chance increases that, you know, something bad is going to happen to you. And that can be a physical wound, that can be a mental wound. But if you hearken back to World War II, Vietnam, you know, you were tapped, you did your one tour of duty for the most part. Some people sign up and go back for another one. But you got people, you know, I've done three, but you got people that have done 5, 8, 9, 10, you know, extended tours of duty in a combat zone. And they performed heroically. I don't know what the long-term outcomes are going to be. In Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, I am in favor of winding them down, for sure, if you're going to ask me that question. But really, you know, my life's focus is taking care of the families of our fallen and disabled. And we have, an astonishing crisis in this country right now with 22 American veterans committing suicide on a daily basis. and this invisible wound of post-traumatic stress, of TBI. And a TBI is basically when your brain gets shaken inside of its skull, which is a common injury from all these roadside bombs and IEDs. And, you know, our doctors are great and they've learned a lot, but it's really it's a unknown injury. But one of the byproducts we've seen is this, you know, extreme stress disorder and depression and anxiety. So as you mentioned before me, Folds of Honor's mission has always been singular, and that's to honor the sacrifice that these men and women in the military make by educating their legacy. So we provide scholarships. Go ahead.
I quote you now. I look at flying fighter jets and being a PGA golf professional as what I do, but Folds of Honor is who I am. This is not a hobby. It's not even a passion. This is a vocation, a ministry for you. You and your team have raised $130 million in the last 13 years. You've helped 25,000 young people with scholarships. Why so involved with this, Lieutenant Colonel?
I think it goes back to my, you know, my comments. I get it, man. I've been to combat. I understand the realities of that world. And I also understand that, you know, the unprecedented evil that's out there that doesn't like what this country stands for, doesn't like our way of life. But, you know, we have a volunteer military. It's all volunteer, right? I volunteer. There's no draft. So these men and women volunteer. But the families go along for the ride. All right, as I mentioned, I have a wife and five daughters. They volunteered by default with me, but they are left to deal with the consequence of war. They truly are. These families are isolated and alone. And for Folds of Honor to bring this ray of hope of the education is a great thing, right? That makes this country so different than others. And these scholarships go from first grade all the way through college. We're going to make sure that their spouse and their kids have the opportunity to chase that dream that their mom or dad fought so hard to defend. But it's also the healing power of recognizing and honoring that sacrifice. And to a family, probably my greatest surprise in this Folds of Honor journey is to a family. They're like, hey, we couldn't do this without the education. It's life-changing. But the fact that you've recognized our sacrifice and contribution to this country and their freedoms through this scholarship is the greatest gift.
We're talking to Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney. If you want to learn more, www.folds, F-O-L-D-S, of honor.org. In 2008, he was named People Magazine's Hero of the Year. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Rasula, host of WJR's Anything is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom.
Anything is possible.
I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney. Dan, would you profile two heroes and their families for us this evening?
I'd be honored to. As I, you know, as I mentioned, that's the that is this incredible gift that Folds of Honor gives to myself and everybody that supports it. Are these beautiful stories that, that come from the ashes, right? And death and destruction, but we're able, with this resilient spirit, to press on. And that's what all of these stories, I mean, there's 25,000 amazing stories of these families who have given everything for our freedoms we enjoy today, but then pressed on. And I, you know, I go back, one of our very first college graduates, a young lady named Sarah White, and a beautiful young girl, and her brother is well. She's this blonde-headed, blue-eyed, you know, perfect little Southern belle. And her dad was a fighter pilot. Her mom was a flight attendant at Delta Airlines. And her dad, they were actually stationed in North Carolina. And he was on a night training mission, an F-15E Strike Eagle, Captain Dennis White. And they had a catastrophic mechanical failure and ended up punching out, you know, 100 miles off the East Coast in the Atlantic Ocean at night. And Dennis didn't make it. And Sarah, you know, pulls herself together, and that family pulls themselves together. And she would be one of our very first college graduates from Auburn. She's a war eagle. And I remember meeting her the first time at a NASCAR race. And I never thought in my life that we'd have our own NASCAR race. Now, Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 in Atlanta, which looks like it's going to run in June. So it's a spoiler alert to get NASCAR going again. But you know, she went on and graduated from Auburn, went into medical sales, and would eventually actually come back to work for Folds as a person that helps us develop and raise money, and lives in Dallas. And it's just such a, you know, powerful full circle for me to help get an education. And I call her, I've got five daughters, but she knows I call her my sixth girl. And, she just had her first child. And the unique thing about Folds is so many of the recipients, they become family members. And it's not just, hey, we're sending checks out across the country. This is a family bonded by tragedy, but inspired by the hope of pushing forward. Because we don't have any choice in life, right? All of us, regardless of where we are and what we're going through, pushing forward is the only option. So Sarah would be one. And, you know, there's a recent recipient family. Captain Campbell was a Marine helicopter pilot in flying out of Hawaii. It was the same thing. I mean, so often in aviation, especially, training is as dangerous as combat. And they were out of Pearl Hickam in Hawaii. And they went out and they had two helicopters that ran into each other, and he passed away. But he had his wife and five kids, and they would move back to Kansas City, Missouri. And we said, just, you know, total God thing that, you know, Kelly had a friend that said, hey, have you seen Folds of Honor? And she's like, I don't know what it is. And she was homeschooling at the time. She found Folds of Honor, and we were able to send all five of her kids to a little Catholic school in Kansas City, and, you know, put their life back on track. And she's thriving, but that's what we do. And it's just this awesome thing. And I, you know, as a husband and father of five, the most important thing for me, if something happens to me flying the fighter jet, is that Jackie and my girls have an opportunity to be successful and get an education. And it's that old parable, if you teach somebody to fish, they can feed themselves for a lifetime. And so we're, you know, we're blessed to have helped, to your point, over 25,000. We got another 4,000 people we'll send to school when we fire back up in August. And we're going to keep on fighting.
We're talking to Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney, who's the author of A Patriot's Calling, Living Life Between Fear and Faith, and another book just coming out, Fly Into the Wind, How to Harness Faith and Fearlessness in Our Ascent to Greatness. If you want to learn more, www.foldsofhonor.org. Dan, as our time winds down this evening, can you lead us in a closing prayer, please?
Yeah, Jack, I'd be honored to do that. And I think, especially as we sit in this unprecedented time with the COVID-19 and, the lives lost, praying for all the health workers on the front line, obviously the military that's deployed. I just, pray that we can all have hope. And I am certain through my struggles in life, Jack, that God has a plan. And I think he's bringing us back to what really matters in our lives, our faith, our family, our closest friends. And I just pray that the country stays strong and that we take these times of isolation and we get better, right? We more emulate God's image and what he wants for us. I'm a Catholic, and I'll end this with a Hail Mary, as I always do. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And Heavenly Father, also keep looking out for Lieutenant Dan, Jackie, and their five daughters. You are a shining example of letting go and letting God. Keep up the fabulous work, Dan.
Hey, thanks, Jack. That's my goal every day. My first prayer in the morning every day is to get out of my own way and be an open vessel and let God breathe something through me that is bigger than myself. So it's been an honor to be with you, and God bless you, and God bless everybody in this amazing country.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahol.
Believe in yourself.